And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast. On a Friday, I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for tuning in here today. Special Friday podcast. Lots to discuss here on a Friday from the week that was. Hopefully, all of you out there have had a great week. A great week at work, a great week at home. I know it's been a great week here in the studio. Wow, it's been cool to see all of the things happening here in the studio. TruSpec, my partner in club fitting, they are up and running. Wow, what an experience that is, watching a couple fittings to this point. Had an event last night with the Zellner Foundation, a great group here in Jacksonville that does so much terrific work for military veterans, active military. I've been doing some things with them this year along with Wounded Warrior. And it's been awesome to get the vets in here and having a great experience around the game of golf. When I put the studio together, yes, I wanted to do my individual lessons in here. Yes, I wanted to get a great club fitting partner like TruSpec. Yes, I wanted to get the fitness piece where people could come in here and work on specific parts of their game. But the big vision really was to create a studio that groups like the Zellner Foundation, like Wounded Warrior, could come in here and do an event, celebrate people around the game of golf. Use golf as a platform. And one of my terrific sponsors, About Golf, which today's podcast is brought to you by About Golf Simulators, the simulator is the centerpiece of this studio. And for people to come in here and be able to do long drive contests, do par three contests on some of the most significant holes in the world, and then to flip it quickly and do games, do contests. Now I've got the full sports package. Like, to do a lot of different things around the simulator. I've got a putting green that we kind of run in conjunction with it. They've got their own private seating and bar if needed. And so it's really cool to see people come in here, some that have played the game, some that haven't, and have a great experience indoors around the game of golf. It's really cool to see come to life, and last night was no different. Thank you to the Zellner Foundation. Thank you to About Golf, my presenting sponsor. Thank you to Hack Motion, another presenting sponsor of the Stripe Show podcast. Thank you to Vistar Credit Union, another sponsor of mine. It's been awesome to work with all of these people that work very hard to create a great product, but also to put on a great show, you know, and to make the game more enjoyable to those all over the world. And that's what it's all about, right? It's easy to lose focus of that as we transition into what is today's golf world, as it is really presented in media. If you're on X, Twitter, Instagram, and it's every day right now that something is coming down the chute that, you know, I think, again, is kind of very divisive, right? You have so many people on one side, and then you have so many people on the other. There's so much change happening in the world. There's so much change happening in the game of golf. And so much of it, of course, or if not all of it, is driven by money, the amounts of money. Money is king. And in golf right now, you know, for 20 plus years, 25 years in this business, you're trying to overcome the stigma of money, that it costs a lot of money to play the game of golf and that it's an elite sport. And you're trying to overcome it and present it in a way that it's not all about money. Yes, money matters. Yes, money makes the world go around. Yes, money is part of the equation. But in a sport that kind of fights that elite status and that it's expensive to play and that it takes so much time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of these barriers to points of entry to get in that you're trying to help knock down, all of the sudden, here we are in the professional game taking center stage, perhaps the people that have the most money, which is Saudi Arabia, coming in and just spending money, the amount of money that is just frankly hard to comprehend. It's just hard to comprehend the amount of money that is being spent by PIF, LIV, to get the likes of Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Cam Smith, and now Jon Rahm. Jon Rahm, the Masters champion, the reigning Masters champion, two major championships from Spain, now going over to create his own team in LIV for what is reported between, it sounds like, between $500 and $600 million, somewhere there. You know, just again, a sum of money that is just hard to comprehend. And so the business model doesn't make sense. I mean, there's no business model where you can come in and spend that kind of money and you're getting a return right now. And maybe the return is, you know, 10, 12 years from now. Maybe the return really doesn't even matter. But it doesn't make sense to look at a business model like that and this amount of money that is being spent up front and that you're getting any sort of return in the near future. It's just not happening. And so the money is spent, and so John goes. It sounds like more to come. Wouldn't be a bit surprised to see Tony Finau follow him. Those two are very close, play a lot of golf together at Silverleaf. It sounds like John's going to kind of fill out his own team. Patrick Cantlay's been rumored, Xander Schauffele. I think the one thing to keep in mind when you look at players like that, they don't have the runway in major championships like Jon Rahm. John winning two majors, he is exempt probably for the next 5 years, somewhere in there. Xander's never won a major. Patrick's never won a major. Tony's never won a major. They need official world golf ranking points to get into major championships. They need their status on the PGA Tour to get into major championships. There's a lot of guys in that boat that, yeah, would probably jump ship for that amount of money because money is king. I think everyone has a price. There's a lot of people that make a lot of money like Jon Rahm. He's been on the record before talking down to LIV, talking about how a couple hundred million, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but more money wouldn't change his life. Or would it? Or do you have a price, John? I probably have a price. You have a price. Everyone has a price to some degree. Money, I think, in many ways is king. If someone's going to come up to you and they're going to write a check or wire money into your account, if you sign the dotted line today and you said no, and then they doubled it, and you said no, and then they tripled it, and you said no, and they quadrupled it, at some point, you're going to look over at your significant other and say, what in the hell are we doing here? What in the hell are we doing here? Money's king, it challenges you. And so, John found his number that basically contradict everything that he said before. And this happens all the time. It's not just Jon Rahm. It doesn't make him a bad guy. I think Jon Rahm's a good guy. I think Jon Rahm wants what's best for the game of golf. I think Jon Rahm wants what's best for him and his family. I think Jon Rahm, at the core, is a good person. But Jon Rahm has a price, and it doesn't matter what he said before. And it probably doesn't matter what you said before or what I said before, that if someone came in and they wrote a check and they put it in front of you and said, this is yours today, if you come over and you play 15 events on LIV, yeah, okay. And so that's where we are. We're back to this money thing in golf. We're back to just an... You know, I can't even, again, comprehend this amount of money that is being spent in the professional game to fragment it as such that you start to worry about the longevity of the PGA Tour. I have no doubt the PGA Tour is probably looking right now actively for a new commissioner. I don't know how you can continue to run Jay Monahan out there. I think Jay's a good person. I think Jay at the core wants what's best for the game. I think Jay, you know, look, he's probably made some decisions that he regrets. But I don't think Jay's a bad person. I think Jay is, I mean, how do you win? How do you win when your opponent is spending this amount of money? They are not playing on the same playing field as you. The Yankees just got Juan Soto. They just paid Aaron Judge gobs of money. It's a different payroll than the Tampa Bay Rays and the Seattle Mariners and the Cincinnati Reds. Boston Red Sox spend way more money. And so it's not an equal playing field when it comes to the amount of money being spent. So I don't know what you do if you're the PGA Tour at this point in time. I think you've probably lost the trust in the room to your players because you went behind their back and you said you were going to do a skeleton deal with PIF. It caught everyone by surprise. I'm sure that didn't go over very well. I'm sure there's a lot of... there's a lack of trust right now inside with the best players, with the professionals, and the leadership of the PGA Tour. I mean, I don't deny that. I would be pissed if I was a professional golfer and it's quote-unquote ran by the players, and I had no idea that the commissioner was making a decision that was going to change the course of the PGA Tour unlike any other decision in its history. And no one knew about it? And so I would be pissed too. And now, with all this money on the table, the players have all of the leverage, and everyone has a price. And so the fragmentation of professional golf continues. And now you got to start wondering, because I think there's going to be more. I think there's more players going, and you have to start to wonder about the longevity of the PGA Tour and what is the next step. And as I sit here today and I start to piece all of this together, and I don't have all the information, and neither do you, and neither does anyone on X, no one knows what the next step or what the right step potentially could be for the PGA Tour. Like, where do they go from here? I'm sure the PIF is ready to, yeah, let's cut a deal. Let's cut a deal. But what does that deal look like? What does that deal look like? No one knows. And so it's hard to put it all together. You know, it's hard to put it all together. And then you start drawing your eyes over to LIV and that product. What is that product all about? I like professional golf. I love watching John Rahm play. I love watching Cam Smith play. I miss those guys on the PGA Tour. I'll be honest, I don't watch LIV much. And the reason is because I went over and I did watch it and I did try to go in with an open mind. And I just don't really care much for the product. I have a hard time getting behind the team game. It feels forced to me. I roll my eyes when I hear John Rahm say, the reason I went over, one of the main reasons, is to grow the game on a bigger audience, a bigger platform. John, can you please show me where that audience is in the last 2 years of existence of LIV Golf? Where is this audience? I don't see the audience. I see Australia was a great event. Australia is starving for professional golf. What terrific fans down there. My goodness. And I love Australian fans. I think the Golf Channel Amateur Tour could go down there and you would get crazy fans watching it. But you got to give LIV credit for that. That was a cool event, and it will be again in January, I believe. But I don't see the same people at other events, some better than others. I certainly don't see it in TV ratings. I see a lot of splash plays. I see a lot of announcements, and they're good at making buzz and this and that. But I don't see the results or the facts to this point. Any evidence that suggests that John Rahm is going to have a bigger audience and stage. So save us with that, John. Just save us with that, save us with growing the game. That's not what this is about. It's about the money. And so that rubs me the wrong way. I don't hold it against John for going, but just save us with all of the BS reasonings that no one's buying anymore. No one's buying anymore. It's not a viable business model and that you're stepping into. But good for you. Your skill set is in such where you can get paid. And so I look at the business model and I look at the lack of interest that it's been able to create to 2 years to this point. And keep in mind, they have had big names. Cam Smith is one of the best players in the world. Dustin Johnson, still one of the best players in the world. Bryson DeChambeau, still one of the best players in the world. Brooks Koepka, still one of the best players in the world, the defending PGA champ. But the ratings aren't there. Overall, the people, there's not enough people there. Heard someone say it's a festival on X. It's a festival. It's golf, but louder. Okay. All right, if that's... Yeah, I can see where some people would want to take the game that way. I'm all for making it more casual. I'm all for making it more approachable, all of those things. All of the things that to make the game more accessible. It's one of the reasons why I built this studio. And I've got training programs, and I've got individual programs, and I've got online programs that is there to fit the budget for everybody. But I can still look at LIV Golf and say, I don't think that's it in the professional ranks. I just don't. I watch it, and I just don't think that is it. That's just my opinion. It may change. It may change. Heck, it might change for a price, just like John Rahm. Everybody's got a price. Let's just be honest here. Let's just be real. Let's be authentic. Let's be down to earth. This is what this is all about. This is what it's all about. It's okay to say, hey, John, good for you. You got the money. Go for it. But spare us with the BS expenses. Spare us. You're insulting us. You're insulting us when you say you're going to grow the game to a bigger audience. Stop. You're saying you're going so you can spend more time at home with your family. Stop. You're going because of the money, period. A lot of it. Good for you. Good for you. So, where does it go from here? Professional golf. I think it's so fragmented. I think it's in shambles. I think it comes across with so much greed. I think it's leading too much with the money. And I just, you know, I just think that golf has is in the end, at this point in time in the professional ranks, is losing. I think it's losing in the end. I think the players are winning, and a lot of the big name players are getting a lot of money. But as someone said on X, it's eating itself, and I think I tend to agree with that. Finally, with the USGA, thank you for being here. Just kind of a little bit of a, I don't know, decompress, if you will. A lot of thoughts going through my head. I'm sure there's a lot of thoughts going through your head right now. Some of this may make sense. Some of this may not. Some of this may feel like he's kind of rambling. Some of it may feel like he's repeating himself. Some of it may feel like, I don't know. But it's just kind of a little bit of a decompress. I'll be honest, my 9 o'clock canceled. I wasn't going to do a podcast. But I have all these notes that I make, and I'm like, you know what? Let's turn it on. Audio only today. And here are a few thoughts. USGA, let's roll it back. It's a lot to piece through there as well. You know, the bifurcation, the PGA Tour, I think apparently didn't want it. And so now, to keep the, I think, allure of amateurs playing the same equipment as the pros, that the USGA felt like, look, we need to just keep it all one. Everybody's going to get rolled back. And that's unfortunate. right? And all, again, all these decisions, it comes down to money. You know, it comes down to money, and I respect that. You know, look, again, money makes the world go around, and that's the tough part, right? Because, you know, all of us, everybody listening right now, including myself, like, you want to have a certain amount of money, and you want to do better, and all those things. And you want to be responsible, and you want to do the right thing. But then it comes, push comes to shove, right? And, okay, a change needs to be made. There's a new player at the table, and all the extra money comes into play, and it starts challenging your current operating system, and you're looking at the growth of the game of golf, and that it's never been bigger than other. There's more rounds right now with amateurs. People have come back to the game for COVID, et cetera, et cetera. And all of a sudden, now I've got to invest more money into a new golf ball to roll it back? And so I just think in the timing and in the grand scheme of things, and I look at all this, does 4, 5, 6, 7 yards at the end of the day for most amateurs, is it really that big of a deal in the grand scheme? I don't think it is. You know, I don't think it is to most. I do think it is to some. I do. I see a decent amount of players that come in here in their mid-50s, early 60s, even early 50s, and it's like, man, I just can't move like I used to. I like golf. I've played golf. I've played at a decent level. I'm a mid-handicap, high single. But I just can't hit it as far as I used to. And you can see how that bothers them. Like, that is something that weighs on them. Like, I don't hit it as far as I used to. And so you show them some things that maybe lengthens them out, improves their club head speed, improves the contact, ball speed, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, it moves the needle a little bit. But Father Time is tough to overcome. Father Time is undefeated. And so we don't hit it as far as we used to. And I see a lot of players that weighs on them. It weighs on them. Whether it's an ego thing, whatever. But it's real. I have seen it a ton. Not all. And so now you're going to take away another 5, 6, 7 yards to them. And so I don't think that sits well. I don't think that sits well. I do think it's going to affect a certain population of golfers. I do. You're going to take distance away from women playing the game. And yes, it's small. And in the grand scheme, I think there is a large majority of players that it doesn't matter to. To me, in my game, I'm going to continue to play golf. I'm going to continue to enjoy the game. I love golf. I don't play as much as I used to. And frankly, I'm burnt out on it at this point in time going into next season with everything that's going on. And that probably leads to me not wanting to play as golf as much. And that's not good because I am a core fan. I'm in the business. I pay for my house and my kids' tuition in the future based on the game of golf. And so I'm sorry if I come across a little passionate on some of the things that are happening in today's game. And I do think in the grand scheme of things, when you look at the rollback, I don't think it's the right message. I just don't. I don't think it's the right message. I don't think it's the right time, considering how we've been able to overcome some of these barriers that I alluded to earlier and get more people in this game, taking more lessons, buying more equipment, playing more rounds. And now we decide, even amongst the chaos that is in professional golf, that we're going to roll it back and it's going to affect the professional game and it's going to affect the amateur game. I don't agree with that. I just don't agree with it. I just don't think it's worth it. I don't think it's the right message. And I certainly think the timing couldn't be any worse. So there we are. You know, there we are. And look, there's just more ahead. There's more players that are going to be going to LIV. I have no doubt the USGA will continue to kind of insert themselves into the discussion to stay relevant. There's going to be more changes on the PGA Tour. There's got to be a new commissioner, I would imagine, by next year. Where's the LPGA Tour and how do they fit in all this? I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. And I think the scariest thing of it all, and I'll end with this, is I don't think anybody knows where it will all end up. That's that. Thanks for staying here with me. Stripe Show Podcasts on a Friday. A little bit of a brain dump. Thanks for following along. Hopefully some of it made sense. Hopefully some of it helped. We'll be back next week. Brian Urlacher is going to join me on Monday. For those of you that didn't listen to our last podcast that we did together when Liv was starting out, go back and listen to that before Monday. It's going to be a spirited, and I mean spirited, conversation with one of the all-time greats, the Hall of Famer, Brian Urlacher. Have a great weekend, everybody.